Don't let girls get you down. Drive your spirits to the ground. Mount up your wings, little eagle, and fly. So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Get you down, yes, Lord.
Amen. Good morning. Let's see one here. But good morning to the ones that are here. So we'll just remember that. We got a few requests we'll make. Remember Sister Julie's mom, Sister Colleen. She's got the COVID and she's in the hospital, so just remember her. Also remember Sister Janet. She's got the flu. So just remember that also. Let's see here. We got a Brother Durrett called and said his whole family's getting over the flu. So remember them. They won't be here today, so they're watching in. So be with them. And also Sister Gwen back there, son will be having bypass surgery. His name's Phil, coming up on Thursday. So remember him with a special prayer that all will be well in that situation. The ones I have. And I know we all have unspoken requests and know of people traveling and things. Just keep them on your heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling or will be traveling. Just bless them, be with them and guide them. Lord, be with the ones that are sick. We have mentioned Sister Colleen and Sister Gwen's son there, Lord, will be going through surgery. Be with him. Bless him. All will be well. Lord, the many other ones that are sick here, Lord, remember Sister Janet. Lord, just all the other ones, Brother Durrett and his family there, Lord, just bless them all and be with them in God. Be with our services here today. Forgive us for all of our sins. Remember all the ones that we pray for on a regular basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
You may be seated. Amen. Brother Michael, you have a song. You were down for a special this afternoon, but if you had one this morning, we'd surely let you sing it. It's up to you, but I'll call you if you're interested. Amen. 47. Amen. Just a little walk, closer walk with thee. Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a
closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Is old. Times for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing 119, the Red Book, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Think of this. Angels descending, bring from echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. All the day long, amen. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Is that your story? Amen. Praising your Savior. Brother Thomas, will you help me with the offering this morning?
Dear Lord, please bless the tithes and offerings. Please bless Brother Dale and Brother Wade and all the deacons and ministers. Please bless the church for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated for a minute. We're going to sing this song, and then we're going to have responsive reading. 58 in the Sproul book. Amen. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiance beam light the world forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. Send the light, and a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, and let its radiant beam light the world forevermore. Listen to this. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Let's let them play this last verse before we sing. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiance beam light the world forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light and let its radiant beam light the world forevermore. Amen.
Thank God for this opportunity to let us all come together to worship. We want to, we see as we look around that this world is fastly fading away. But let us be prepared that when he calls, we'll come up here, that we won't be left behind. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 107, verses 5 through 21. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and ever thankful, Lord, unto you for the many blessings that you have shared upon us. Lord, we thank you for protecting us.
Yes,
Lord, when we needed it in our minds and knew, but Lord, when we didn't recognize that we needed it, and you were still there with us and caring for us. Lord Jesus, we ask you wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God, we will keep you upon our minds and in our hearts. And just bless this service this morning, bless the reading, God, that these words will find a place of rest in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 107, verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainting in them.
Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them out of their distresses.
Amen. Amen. My
oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful words to the children of men.
For he satisfies the hungry soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Such as sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, being bound in afflictions and iron. Therefore he brought them down their heart and labored. They fell down and were none to help.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadows of death. He brake their bonds and sunder.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men.
For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder.
Fools, because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities are afflicted.
Thy soul are harbored all men manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death.
Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God bless you. Be seated.
So, do you have a song in your heart, Brother Mike? Come on up, and I'll let you be glad to have you sing. You're supposed to sing this afternoon, but there's no afternoon service. And always enjoy your singing. You're a blessing.
God bless you all. After you thought of this song Wednesday when Bob was preaching, thinking about the shepherd and how his sheep know his voice. So if you know it, feel free to sing along. I hope it's a blessing.
My sheep know my voice and the path that I take. They follow wherever I go. My sheep know my voice and come at my call. But a stranger's voice do not know. My sheep know my voice and day by day they abide in the fold and go not astray. They love me because I have made them my choice, and they follow my call. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice and the pastures of green, where I lead them so often to feed. My sheep know my voice and the cool sparkling stream, where beside its still waters I lead. My sheep know my voice, and day by day they abide in the fold and go not astray. They love me because I have made them my choice, and they follow my call. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice and the valley of death, through which I shall lead them someday. But no danger nor harm can touch one of them, for I will be with them always. My sheep know my voice, and day by day they abide in the fold and go not astray. They love me because I have made them my choice, and they follow my call. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And day by day they abide in the fold and go not astray. Choice, and they follow my call. My sheep know my voice.
Let's stand as we change over the service this morning. Open the eyes of my heart. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Thought today we'd have a lot more room in the inn, but it's pretty full. There is no room in the inn. I heard Richard use it. Boy, oh boy. You have your seat for just a minute because I got some announcements. I got to make. Brother Collie's coming in right there. Just give that to him. First thing, I want to thank everybody for all the gifts, cards, letters, prayers, especially prayers. For all of us during this year, and the when we were down at the barn, I want to thank you for all coming and being a part of our church. We forgot a couple of musicians, which is just humanly possible because we're humanly people. So we have two that we need to give out today. We forgot Nyla, sorry, dear, and we forgot Brother Paul. So if you'll come and get your... I'll bring yours. We forgot them, so God bless you, buddy. She's going, you're going to school. That's a good girl. She's going to go to college, and she, bless her heart. I got that thing filled out, so. Who was it for? Was it for her?
for Chloe. I thought it was. So I didn't write anything about whose name it was, but Chloe's going to go to a Christian school, so that's wonderful. And Paul Frieda's right up here. That's the girl you married, right, Frieda. Right there. Raise your hand, Sister Frieda. Raise your hand. There you go, right there. All right. You can sit with somebody else if you want to, but you probably need to sit with your wife. Boy, look what a silver dollar will do for you. Oh, Lord, I reckon. So anyway, there could be more said. But anyway, all right, now, another announcement. We got to get finished with all these so we can get started. All right, if you come to this church regularly and you pay tithe and you did not get a check Sunday, please tell Brother Terrence. It would be the adults got $200 apiece. The over 18 and under 18, the kids got $75. So if you didn't get one, there it went again. We're human beings, and we don't want to exclude anybody. We just forget from year to year. The church is growing. The musicians are growing. The support is growing, which is wonderful. People are stepping up, and I want to admonish people like Brother John Durrett and Brother Michael and different ones filling in yes. Somebody stepping in and filling in when a lot of people are gone. And that does happen a few times of the year that most are gone. And then there's some in the back. I want to thank Brother Joe and Brother Anderson and them for cross training. They got some young kids back there. They've got some young adults back there that are, and it takes a lot in that media room. It takes three people pretty much to do what needs to be done to keep the internet running and to keep the quotes coming up. And then we've got all this new system coming in that Brother Anderson and Brother Richard are putting in for us. So thank you for that. Also, while you're seated, just stay there. Pray for Brother Luis. I know most of us are kind of keeping up with him. He's doing a wonderful job. Souls are being saved. We've got churches that are being built. Food's being given to communities with the money that y'all sent. So, what, Ma? Yes, yes, yes. The play and the offerings. And thank you, everybody, for doing what you do. All right? It will not go unnoticed. It may go unnoticed to a human being, but it won't go unnoticed to God. He knows every bit of it, knows what's going on. So just forgive our human mistakes, right? Because we do make them. But also remember, this coming Wednesday night, there'll be no service this coming Wednesday night. Everybody got that? No service. We will be having service Friday night at 8 o'clock. I don't want y'all to remember me on Wednesday. I'm going to have my PSA checked again because it was high the last time. So pray that we don't have to do anything but just say, it's low. All right? Amen? And also remember that on Friday, that will be from 8 to 12 on the 31st. It's our normal, regular Watch Night service. Brother Chris Long will be here with us. How many of you are planning on attending? And I have a reason for this. Raise your hand all the way up so we can see. Because last year we didn't bring finger food because of COVID and whatever, but I just asked Mom and Pop and they said it would be fine for us to have this year have finger food. So sisters, you need to get together today after the service and find out what you're going to bring and then bring it. And we're going to probably be here around 6 or 6:30 on Friday evening. There'll be just finger food. Don't come hungry like you're going to eat chicken and potatoes and this is finger food. Okay. Come to get you some finger food and don't be chewing on fingers. Be eating some food. All right, but we did it a couple years ago, and it's always worked out well. We'll be here between 6 and 6:30. So, sisters, get together, please, and do that. Brother Chris will be preaching about 8:30, and then afterwards, we will have singing until midnight, and then we'll be taking communion, and that will be our communion for January. So we won't have communion on January the 2nd, which will be that same weekend. All right, so this is all coming together in the same weekend. And also January the 1st, there'll be no Bible study. Because that will be New Year's Day, and we just had the service Friday night. And Brother Chris will be here both services. But if you are going to sing a song, you need to stay today. We're not having a second service. We'll be done here in a little while. stay and practice your songs. If we have a group song or whatever, you need to see Sister Trudy and get with her. And Sister Christine's not here, so it's all on Sister Trudy. So just bug her. Okay? If you want to sing a song, and Sister Esther has so graciously, as she always does, said she would stay and help practice. And if some of you musicians want to do the same thing, you can stay and practice for the Watch Night service, because we'll have a good bit of singing that night until midnight, take communion, and then we'll again have finger food afterwards, and then you can go home. All right. January the 2nd, Brother Chris will be here for both services, so we'll have him Friday night and Sunday. All right. Everybody okay with that? Everybody so far? So good. All right. January the 22nd, we'll have our youth service starting at 3 o'clock. Brother Darrell Ward will be here. We'll have one service that day. And then on January the 23rd, which will be that Sunday, we'll have one service. Brother Darrell will be here speaking for us. All right. Also, if you have Christmas cards downstairs, the cleaning lady said you'd be able to get them. And you never know what's in that. You never know. Could just be ink. Could be something else. Who knows? But you need to get your cards. They're back there on downstairs where the box is. We're trying to get rid of all that and get your gift, get your Christmas cards before you leave today for service. Now, stand up now and we'll start serving. That's all right. We're a church that don't want to sit still. I don't want us to ever sit still. I want us to be doing something. Amen. And listen, if we'll do it for the Lord, He'll give it back to you. I promise He'll give it back to you. If you do it unto the Lord, He'll give it back to you. So let's bow our heads. Let's remember Sister Janet, and also remember, Brother Jonathan's, Brother James Orr used to come to church here a while back, and his son comes, and Jonathan sent us a message a few days ago and said his dad was really, really sick, so we need to pray for Brother Orr too. Everybody, most of you older ones know who Brother Orr is, so, and Jonathan's his son, so. Let's bow our heads, probably where he's at today. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us today. Lord, we are human beings, Lord, and we live in a world. But Lord, you promised that we could live in the world and not be of the world. You said we're a separated group of people. Lord, you're the one that does the separating, Lord. By the new birth, Lord, we think different, we walk different, we talk different than the world, because that's what happened when you came on earth. Lord, you were so different that they called you everything in the book but God. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today, Lord, that we'll now be conformed into that image that you produced here on the earth as the Son of Man. You gave us a guideline to go by, Lord, and now today we pray that you would just be with us in the word that we speak, that you'll be the active participant in this service, Lord, to heal the sick. Lord, raise up the dead. Be with the ones, Lord, that are dead in sin and trespass, Lord, that you'll give them life, Father. And bring them into the fold, as our brother was singing there, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with the ones that are not here, Lord, Brother Orr. Be with him, Lord, Sister Janet, and the different ones that's been sick. Brother John Durrett and his family, Lord, we pray that you'd just be with each one, Lord. We miss them all when they're not here. Just part of the body, Lord. I pray that you'd be with all of us, Lord. Take care of us and further them in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have any other questions, I'll redo that again if you need me to. About everything going on. Just don't show up Wednesday night. Show up Friday night at 8 o'clock. All right? Okay? With food. Friday night with food. All right? Sister Trudy, you know what to bring, don't you? Sister Trudy McMillan, you know what to bring. She brings that shrimp. She brings that round thing of shrimp. And it ain't for y'all. It's for Brother Dale. This brother now. No, I love it because she brings it every year. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. And thank you for all the things really you've done. It's been a wonderful time. I hope you had a good holiday yesterday. And remember that we know Jesus wasn't born on Christmas, but we can still remember the blessings that he gave us every day of the year. Amen. He blessed us and gave us life. And then he blessed us again by giving us eternal life. Amen. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now what did John come to do? He come to introduce the head. That's what we're going to talk about today. At the end of the service here, once we get our background again, we're going to talk about the headstone. All right, because that's what he was. That's what he still is. And there's a reason why he had to come back in the end time. Amen. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And I think it's an honor today that we can stand here and read about John the Baptist and know that there was an Elijah number 4 that showed up, right, in our time, that we can read about, that he introduced a headstone to the church. And that we can read this and know that John did it, but see the same parallel as what we have here in the end time. That's exactly what happened again. God sent us a man named William Branham with the spirit of Elijah on him to do the same identical thing. Okay? But now what he did is, though, he turned the hearts of the children to the fathers. The babbling babies, he turned them to the fathers. All right? And that was the difference in him and John. John was turning the Old Testament fathers to the New Testament church. All right? He was the link. And we had need a prophet in the end time to do the same thing, to link us together. Amen. Who? Link us in Christ together, not us and William Branham together. Right. Us in Christ together. Because that's what John said, and I'll read it to you maybe later on. John says, I must decrease. Yes. That he may increase. Amen. Amen. Listen, God's not going to share his glory with nobody. Nobody. Amen. And I don't want anybody to share it with him. I want him to be my owner, my God, my friend, my lover, my husband. That's what I want him to be. I don't want him to be anything different. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's read Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, what is a body? It has a head on it. And the head is where the intelligence is. If you don't have anything in your head, you're not going to have anything to do with your body. Because listen, Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of that body. Amen. We got to have Jesus Christ to save us, because our body was rotten. Our body was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, espoused from our mother's womb. But he gave us a chance to get out of that. Amen. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. In Colossians 1:15, I love this right here. Let's read this one, because we're going to make a few comments and then come back to it. Colossians 1:15 says, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Now, we're going to get into that in a minute. In Revelation 3:14, he was the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. When God became flesh. Amen. The book of Psalms tells us heaven and earth has kissed. They've come together. They've met. Amen. Heaven came down. Heaven came down to earth and became flesh. That's why I do love the Christmas story. We know it's not got anything to do with Santa Claus and even December the 25th. We know that's not true. But we know one thing for sure. He had to be born on a certain day. There was a day he was born. He was born a lamb in April. We know that. But we're in this world, and I've never seen anybody that's complained about getting a gift on December 24th or 25th. So, amen? That's what I thought. So if you take a gift, that's okay. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Now this is this man that we're talking about, this Son of Man. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All right, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Pretty powerful guy. But watch, though. He brings it down. He says, and he is the head of the body, the church. Not out there. The bride. He is the head of the body, the bride, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. What? Listen, it's okay that he was born a baby. It's okay that he died at Calvary. But if he had not resurrected, if he had not come out of that grave, Brother Brown said, that's when he proved who he was. It's when he said, you destroy this body in 3 days, I'll raise it back up. Lazarus depended on Jesus to resurrect him. We're going to have to depend on Jesus to resurrect us, but he didn't have to depend on nobody to resurrect him because he was the resurrection. And I hope we get into that a little bit more later on in the year, because when he stood and said, I am the resurrection and the life, that is the ministry of the Son of Man.
Yes.
I'm here. I'm here to resurrect you. I'm here to change you. And I'm here to take you in a rapture.
Yes.
Amen? Everybody all right with that? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's what we need to work on. That's why I'm telling you, we need to let out what we got inside of us this year. Let it out. Start praising God. Run the aisles. Do what? Do something. Amen. Study the Bible more. Read more. Pray more. Shout more. Amen. This is okay. This is all right. But I promise you, yesterday when y'all was opening some of your presents, you didn't just go, thanks. Right, Lily? You're like, wow, that's what I've always wanted. Right? Oh, you brought me this, you brought me... Well, you know what? That wrapped gift I told you about, he brought you a gift of eternal life. Amen? And he unwrapped it, and then he wrapped it back up in you. Amen? Because you and I are part of that headstone, head. We're the body. That's why Jesus can't come back until we connect with him here spiritually. Then we come back naturally in the millennium for him to be the head and us to be the body. But spiritually it's got to happen now, because that's when we connect. And there's many, many quotes, and we'll read them later on next year. There's many, many quotes where Brother Brown says the head and the body has to unite. Because what would be a person walking around with no head?
Amen.
Right. Amen?
Amen.
You wouldn't know where to go, what to do. You couldn't see. Everything comes from right here. Amen? So we got to have the headstone here, or the head man, the head person, the head of the body, the church. That's why he had to come back in the end time, because they rejected him.
Yes.
And they've rejected him all down through time.
Absolutely.
They sure rejected him when he was on earth. Let's read, let's continue on. But he is the body, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He had to come in human flesh, he had to die to give you eternal life, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amen. He wasn't part God. He wasn't the second person of a Trinity. He wasn't even the first person of the Trinity. He is a triune being. He was a father when he was in the Old Testament. The Son of God. Jesus told us that we worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, you'll find out who the Father is if you'll start worshiping in spirit and in truth. You'll find out who my Father is. And then he comes to Philip one day and he says, Philip, if you've seen me. Now listen, he's a liar. If there's a father somewhere else, another person standing, right? He said, if he's seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the Father expressed in the Son of Man. That's why the Son of Man is me and you. That's what are me and you. We're the Father expressed. Because we're sons and daughters of God. So we are the Father expressed. That's why I say we take the Lord Jesus and we bottle him up and say, boy, that's the Son of Man, and he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he's this and he's that and he's the other. Well, now what'd he do? Did he leave it there? No, he came back on the day of Pentecost and he poured it out into believers. Amen? Not made believers, not unbelievers, but true believers. All right? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now let's read the first quote. We've been reading it for a while, but I want you to understand that Jesus only came according to the Word.
Yes.
So you and I can come only according to the Word.
Amen.
That's why if you're listening and watching this screen when Brother Branham is preaching on the 70 weeks of Daniel, He brings it straight out of the Bible. He says there's three distinct periods. And there is three distinct periods in the Bible. Huh? A 62, a 7, and 1. One. Not any halves. Everybody got that? You see what people have said this and that and the other, and he said, well, I got a quote. It can't, it's got to match the Bible. Everything has to match the Bible because that's where Jesus came out of. So if Brother Branham's going to introduce the full headship, there can't be one word missing. You can't resurrect part. That's why this fourth Elijah had to restore all things, and we'll read it to him in a minute because Brother Branham Jesus told him, said, this Elijah will come and restore all things. Amen? I thank God he sent us a prophet. Because we'd be floundering around, wouldn't know what we were doing. Folks, think about that. I want you to think about that. The world's deceived with denominational ideas that ain't even in the Bible. But it's their tradition. Jesus told him one day, he said, your tradition is killing you. Because your tradition is not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for my word to be made manifest word by word by word. Because I brought it to you and I gave it to you in plain English. Remember, that's what I was telling you the other day, and it's what I was telling Brother Richard Hyatt. There's no need to get into argument with anybody about the Word of God. But when they say, well, we can cut our hair, well, tell me where you can do that in the Bible. I can read plain English that said you sisters are not supposed to cut your hair. Out of the Bible, not out of a William Branham book. He didn't bring us a new way to live. He come to tell us what God already has said in the Bible. There's nothing that we live by that we can't take to the Bible. What about your religion? What about your denominational idea? What about any of your ideas? Sitting in this building today. Same way we like Daniel 70 weeks. They got all this, you know, about, well, there's only 3.5 years left after the rapture. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The prophet of God's fixing to tell you in just a few minutes, tomorrow, or whenever we play this again, he's fixing to tell you that there's 1 week left after the rapture because the Bible says so. I mean, good grief, people, come on. We're either going to believe this message all the way or we're going to stay here. You're either going to believe it all the way or you're going to stay here because you know too much. You've heard, you've listened, you know. All of us, I'm talking about all of us. If we stay here, we are the ones that did it. Don't blame God and don't even blame the devil. You better blame yourself. Amen? Because we've been given the Word of God. We've been given like the old colored brother says, from kiver to kiver. From kiver to kiver, we've got the Bible. And it's been open to us. Like I said before, Jesus opened the book that day and read where he was supposed to be to do these things. We'll read it in a minute. Then he closed it back up. And he handed it back to the people. But he was the open book. He was the one we were looking for. That what? He might have the preeminence. In what? In himself? No, in the church. In his body. In his bride. He don't want a bride that's slopping around with the world. He don't want a bride that's not a virgin. Amen? Read the masterpiece right here. The body was built by the word which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. Then when this head piece was put upon it, we find in him the entire handiwork of God. Because the Bible tells us, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body, which is what? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We believe in those titles. But they're titles. To one person. Not different personalities. We don't have a schizophrenic God. No, he's one person. But he can do just like I did yesterday. I portrayed myself yesterday as a father. Because some of my children came home with me, some didn't. Sitting in the back, waving. because of other things that we'll not get into. But anyway. No, but I portrayed when I woke up, though. But when I woke up yesterday morning, let's just be honest, I was in bed with my wife and I was a husband.
Okay.
Right? But now that don't happen with the children. But when I moved over into the role of father, I displayed it to my kids. Then my grandgirl showed up. And she's back there waving. So I moved over into what? The role of grandpa. God fulfilled Jehovah. Father of everything. Creator of heaven and earth. But that same man moved over into the Son and became the Son of Man. Same person. But he had a different title. Amen? Then he moved over on the day of Pentecost and he came as the Holy Ghost. Right? Same person. Same person. Same attribute. But he moved over into the form of the Holy Ghost so he could come inside of me and you. If not, he's got two bodies. He's standing here as the Son of Man. And if he moved over on the day of Pentecost and he stayed here as a human, stayed here, he couldn't fulfill the word. Because he couldn't come back into me and you. He'd have two bodies here and that would make him a Trinitarian. But it's not. It's one God. With one personality. With one ultimate goal. And that was to create a group of people that would worship him for an eternity. And be intimate with him. For an eternity. Not just something that's waning. Filial love wanes. It goes back and forth. Up and down. You know, I love my wife and then I don't like her too much today. And you know. And there's some things God don't like that we do. But we're still his wife. Amen? Right? We may get some whippings every once in a while. Now, look, don't whip your wife. Don't do that. But he can whip us because he whips us with nail-scarred hands. He whips us with the Word of God. And it is hot up here, too. Well, Aaron's not here. Brother Donnie, is the fan on? See if the fan's on. Because everybody's fanning. And I'm getting a little warm. All the way down? There you go. Okay. All right. We'll just suffer through it. Nobody fall asleep. But the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. That's when this headpiece was put upon it. Now what was the headpiece? The baby. The Son of Man. When the prophets produced a flesh. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's when it produced, that's when the prophets, that's why when Jesus stood there, and just like what we do, we stand in the world and they think we're odd and we're crazy and we're different. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible never tells you to act like the world. Never tells you to act like the world. It says you're going to be in the world, but not of the world. I want them to know I'm different. I want them to know I'm a little crazy. But I want them to come and tell me what my belief is not in the Bible and what their belief is not in the Bible. I want them to talk to me about that. Not about, well, y'all believe this prophet and he's this. We have prophets all over the place. There was prophets in the New Testament, Agabus and different ones that were prophets. That you didn't hear anything about, but they were prophets. God spoke through them. So, what's the difference now? You know why? It's like I said before, when you got James Dobson and all the different ones, Max Licato and all, that they write some good stuff, okay? But they didn't bring me a word to change my body. They didn't bring me the headstone. They didn't bring me the head of the church, the intelligence of the church, because the intelligence of the church will point you right back to the Bible.
Yes.
And say, this is what I've already said. Not what I'm going to say. This is what I've already said. Right here. Faith's final resting place, the prophet said, is in the Word of God. The Word of God. And that's what we believe. Because remember, Jesus was the Word. He was not a piece of the Word. He didn't come to be part of the Word. He was the fullness of the Word. Everything he did reflected the word. And everything he did reflected what me and you are supposed to do. Why do you think Paul and Peter could write the rest of the New Testament? Because of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because of the commentary. And the ones that were there with them already. Peter, James, John were there. Now Paul wasn't, but Paul by revelation. That's why Paul says, I was one born out of due time. But I got the same understanding that you got. It's a little rough when, Brother Bob, you take Paul and you take Peter, and they come from way too different avenues of getting to be Christianity. You know, this is an old rough fisherman that cursed and was naked most of the time, okay? Let's just be real. And he always wanted to fight. I'm a fisherman, always wanted to fight. So he said, even right up to the garden, he wanted to fight. We're going to take his place over, Jesus. We're going to take over. Jesus looked at him and said, sorry, that's not for you to do. But then you got Paul, well-learned, scholared. He said, I was reading him yesterday in my Bible study. I was reading where Paul said, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. According to the law, he was blameless. Blameless. Peter didn't fit that. Peter didn't fit that spot. Paul persecuted Christians. Paul was scholared and learned. He knew what he was talking about. But when the Holy Ghost came on Peter, and the Holy Ghost came on Paul, same person. When they come together, they were preaching the same thing. Now, most of us come from different walks of life, and I'm talking about ministry and everything else, but us being the way we are now and the message of the hour, how can you bring one over here with this one over here and bring them together and you're preaching the exact same thing? Very, very few. Not common to do that. Why? Because Satan has got into, just like he got into all the other denominations, and divided everything. He's divided everything up. But listen, somebody has got to produce this headstone. And I'm just saying it's us. Amen. I'm just saying it's me and you. We have a chance to do that. Some people will never have a chance to do what you can do and what we're going to do. Which was the prophets. And here come the head of it all. Like I was saying, you got the Max Lucados, you got this one, you got that one, you got Jensen Franklin, you got all these different ones. Good guys, good, I say Christian, nominal Christian men. But they don't bring a message to change your body. Something's off. That's why they don't like when you say their name, it's okay, but when you say William Branham's name, they go, oh. Why? Because he came different. He brought the word 100%. They didn't. They brought part of the body. That's okay. They had their time. But we're under the ministry of the Son of Man, which what? He wasn't like God. He was God. Amen. I don't want to be like God. And I know we sing that song to be like Jesus. Well, that's okay. Be nice. But if you don't have him inside of you, you can interpret that your own way. You ask people outside, you say, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Hand me a beer, you know. Their opinion of Christianity is not our opinion of Christianity. And our opinion, see, listen, folks, we're not living under an opinion.
That's right.
Listen to me. Jesus was not a good opinion. He was the Word.
Yes.
Total. When you pick this book up, you pick up the Son of Man. You pick up what He did on earth 2,000 years ago as God Almighty in human flesh. And when we read it, we read about that man that never will change. We can't change him to match us. We have to change us. I thought the Bible said we're changed into His image.
Yes.
Amen? So what is His image? Not the worldly image that most people produce. Come on, people. He was so different. As the Son of Man, He walked on this earth so different, the denominations hated Him. They wanted to kill Him. You know what? If it hadn't been for that anointing for him to preach that message for 3.5 years, they probably would have killed him. Amen? But remember, the anointing left him in the garden so he could die. So they could kill him. And they got what they wanted. They wanted that man out of the way. They just didn't know that on the day of Pentecost, here come 120 of them people that they had killed one for. And then 3,000 came that they were trying to kill that one for. And then now millions of people, Christians in the world, that are producing Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Not produce a man. But it took a man to come here to preach that gospel to us. Because we were so messed up. Listen, every time you look in the Bible, every time man started getting off, I'm talking about the Old Testament. Every time man started getting off and getting away from the law, getting away from this, God sent them a messenger. Right? Even Ezra, Nehemiah, all those different ones. You watch. God sent them in a pivotal time of Israel's journey, career, whatever you want to say. Look at Moses.
Amen.
Critical time. They were in captivity. They were getting old. They were wanting to get to the promised land. So God sent them a prophet. They wanted to leave as Daniel 70 weeks will tell you. They were getting ready to leave and go out of captivity. Well, where do we go? Well, how do we get there? God sends them Ezra. God sends them Nehemiah. God sends them all these different prophets to what? Line them back up. Same thing, folks, in the New Testament. God sent us a prophet to line this thing back up, to get us in the right way. You say, oh, this is tough. Listen, you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is not tough to live this life. The reason you can't live this life is you don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to let the rubber meet the road today. Okay? That all right? Because in Revelation 3:14, this is to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. So now that's us, right? This is to the messenger, right? Pull it up there. Be Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Now, angel, messenger, right? So that would be our seventh angel messenger, which we know for surety who that is. And God sent him to us. What? The church. Amen. Of the Laodiceans. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Do you know? Now listen. Don't get me wrong. They had the new birth down through the church ages. Everybody got that?
Yes, ma'am.
But they didn't get the fullness.
No,
right. I read you that when we were talking about eternal redemption. They got just enough to get saved, just enough to get sanctified, just enough to get the Holy Ghost and say, I'm a Christian, and give their life for the gospel and all the different things. But the beginning of the creation of God, we know that happened 2,000 years ago. But listen, the continuation of that creation did not fully come until the seals broke. Boy, that brought it way on up here, didn't it? Y'all thought I was going to say on the day of Pentecost. Part of the way it did. That was the building of the body. But now when we come to Laodicea, it says the beginning of the creation of God. That now Jesus Christ is back in human form again, in a bride, because of the angel that brought us a message. Amen? It's okay to have all these other messengers. That's fine. But this one did two things, remember. Turn the hearts of the children back to the Pentecostal fathers. What? The Bible.
Amen.
But you know what? He would stand there and condemn women preachers and condemn women for cutting their hair and condemn women for wearing paint. And you know what? That's been 60-something years ago. They didn't one denomination go out of business. They're still here. They didn't. I mean, sure, some people were converted, but they just kept going. Brother Brown even said, he said, y'all just get worse every year. Right? I'm talking about the supposed to be the epitome, the head at the time.
Yes.
You understand what I mean? The Pentecostal church was supposed to be the cleanest living and the closest living to holiness, the closest living to God.
Yes.
He said in 20 years, he said, you'll be worse than the Catholic church. Took 2,000 years because they thought they had it and they didn't. They thought they had the latter rain. They thought they had the headstone. They thought the Lord was coming. They thought they were the church that the Lord was going to come to. And Brother Branham said, no. He said, you've not even had your teaching rain yet. And that's what's been going on. We've had a good teaching rain going on. But now there's going to be a harvest, folks. You know what? You don't leave your harvest. Why would you put forth an effort to plant 10 rows of green beans or tomatoes and then just never go back to it? What's going to happen? That fruit's going to rot. Die on the vine. Good fruit. Hey, good fruit, good beans, good tomatoes. And like me and Lisa, it's hard for a good tomato to go bad in our place because we eat them too much. We eat them. Now, Sister June, she might throw them out, but that's okay. But think about what I'm saying is God planted it and he's going to have a harvest. There's going to be a harvest of a ripe fruit called the bride. And there's going to be a harvest. Not just growing it out and saying, oh, that's beautiful, that's pretty, like the Pentecost. They shouted it out. They said, oh, this is it, this is it, this is it. Then they said, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. And they shut the door. They put God out. Because in Revelation 3:14 on down to 16 or 17, what does it say? Behold, I stand at the door or not. That was the Son of Man trying to get back in. See, we've got to let the Son of Man back in our door. For us to take a body change. That may be hard for somebody to listen to, but everything you know down here has a time limit. I was thinking about this. Everything has a time limit. When you play a basketball game, you got ever how many minutes? You play a football game, you got 4 quarters, 15 minutes a quarter. Right? There is an end to the game. Okay? There is an end to the first quarter. There is an end to the second quarter. When that clock goes 0000, they stop the game. That's the same way with God. When he give us a Gentile dispensation, he sent us a prophet, he sent us the word of God, he sent us an absolute wonderful fivefold ministry to bring the word of God and break it down to the people, somewhere that clock's going to hit 0000. The game's going to be over. And somebody wins. And somebody loses. Amen? If you're with God, you always win. Revelation 3:14 talks about the beginning of creation of God. Listen to this quote. God's gift always finds our places. Number two. And he was a being on earth, a being of time, which means that he must have had a beginning. Therefore, he created himself a body to live in. Now, how did he create it? He created it by the word. I just read it. He created it by the prophets in the Old Testament that created the body for him to stand up. Stand out on. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. That opened a door so that could happen. Because it can't happen otherwise. Amen. God himself created a body for himself. See? That by this creation he might save the lost creation that he created. Thank God. Look at number three, the Laodicean church age. Now show that he was the first. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, do you catch it? See, how could God be created if he's a spirit? How could he be? He's eternal. He never was created. He never will be created because he was God at the beginning. But he that is the beginning of the creation of God was Jesus Christ when he was made manifest. The Father stepped over into the sonship and became a baby. God crying in a cradle. God with no teeth. God having to have a diaper change. That's the kind of God I like. He come down here and dwelt right here with us. And he was not untouchable, folks. This is what he's trying to tell you through the ministry. He is not untouchable. He wants to be held. He wants to be, I say used. He wants us to use his word. He wants us to use what he said. I think the Bible talks about exercise. Exercise your faith. Well, now, what does that mean? No, exercise. Exercise your faith. Say, be it unto me according to thy word. Listen to a preacher and stand up one day and say, that ain't nothing but the truth, preacher, and see what will happen. Amen? When God created himself a body, he came down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. What? That's the beginning that we see, that we can understand and relate to, that God, so eternal, Listen, created everything. I was watching a little show on YouTube yesterday about the glaciers up in Alaska and different ones that are hundreds of miles long. So many miles deep of ice. You know, God knows every ice crystal is in that whole thing. Much less how many trees is on this earth already. I'm talking about the whole earth. How much water by volume is already here. Where it came from, because he created it all. But listen, he decided to begin as a baby. He decided to clean that womb out. Not by sexual desire, but clean the womb out by creation. That's why he was the beginning of the creation of God. And we're a continuation. I'll finally get to that quote one day where you and I are a continuation of that creation. Because if it had to be a beginning, listen, there will be an end to a Gentile dispensation. There'll be the last Gentile saved, and no other Gentile are going to be saved, like filled with the Holy Ghost. You ever understand that? The clock will be 0000 on the Gentile dispensation. Now, that doesn't mean it ends. He just takes his game to the Jews. And you know what? They get 1260 on their clock. Come on, somebody. Amen. They get 1260 days, and when that thing hits zero, they're gone. According to the Bible. What are you saying, Brother Wade? Listen, it's good to say, well, we got four quarters. We're just in the first quarter. We'll just kind of halfway get through this thing, but boy, in that fourth quarter, we're going to really? No. Yeah. You better start now. Because listen, he started right when he was the beginning of the creation of God. He started the right way he wanted to start. A virgin birth. And me and you by the new birth, listen, by our old birth, we were not virgin born. I'll promise you, if you were born from your mama, she wasn't a virgin. Everybody got that? But God said, you must be born again. Born from above. Born by creation.
Absolutely.
Not by... Well, we'll read it here in just a minute. How could God be created if he's a spirit? Only a prophet could tell us. He never was created because he was God at the beginning. But because of the Word. Because of the Word. He was the beginning of the creation of God. So that was Jesus Christ in the womb of a virgin. That came on earth and lived, and we saw all that. We know in Luke 2 verse 49, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Not building cabinets, but preaching the Word of God. Amen? So let's just keep going. Abby, you're going to have to slide through these pretty quick. And Sister Abby's right back there learning how to do that. She's got real sweaty palms probably, but that's okay. Just keep scrolling that thing up. Hebrews 5 and 8 said, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered and being made perfect. You say, well, Jesus wasn't perfect. His body was not perfect. His human body that he decided to live in, to give his life, to give that. Listen, you can't kill the Son of God. That's God. And you didn't kill Jesus. They didn't kill Jesus. He acted the part of death. We know that. Listen, you and I act a part of death. Even if we have to put them in the ground, it's an act. Because if you're born again, you're more alive. You're more alive when you pass from this world. See, that's another thing that we don't understand. You're more alive there than you are here. Because you got this old thing hanging on. What's the song? It says, I'll drop this robe of flesh. Just peel this thing off. Step over into another dimension. Then you know what? We're going to step back in this dimension with more power than you had in the first time. And you're going to change that body you was living in. Huh? Yeah. You pick up a little power when you... What did Jesus say? He never said all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me until he come to the resurrection. He stood there and he said, now all power. In other words, I have control over this body. I can walk through that wall if I want to. I can eat if I want to. I can ascend if I want to. And I can come back on the day of Pentecost if I want to. And we know he did because that's what the word said he was going to do. All right? It's all because of the word. Then we know he had to go and be baptized. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him in Matthew 3 verse 16. A little voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And that's what he says at your new birth. You have to come to a River Jordan experience. You have to come to a place where God says, "I'm pleased to dwell in that land." Listen, he said, "I'm pleased to dwell now. I'm going to start building. Now I'm going to start building. Now I'm going to use you." Because remember, justification is a work of the Holy Ghost, but it's not putting you in service. That's what Bob was saying the other night. You know, Brother Bram says to stand behind this sacred desk, you need to have had an experience with God. Now, you don't have to go out in the backside of the desert. He meant like Moses did. But you got to have an experience.
Yes.
Like Moses did. Because justification is a work of the Holy Spirit, just chopping off your past sins. Sanctification, God is going to let you do some things. Right? Right? Because it's set aside for service. But when you get the Holy Ghost, he puts you in service. Now see, then you get all the full blessings. Sure, in sanctification you get blessings too, but listen, you're not even bride by that time. Sanctification doesn't put you in brideship. It puts your name on the book as a believer. It puts you in a religious order. Am I quoting the prophet? It drives out the unclean spirit. According to Luke, drives out the unclean spirit. But when he fills you with something, he seals that thing in. And when he seals it in, he can't get out, and the devil can't get in. Now that's putting you in service. That's washing the whole glass where you can fill it up and drink out of it. Amen? So that's what we see that many times people don't go on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They get to sanctification, they get it halftime. They get to halftime of their religious game. And they say, "Well, we're up 42-0. Why, we're fine." No, the game ain't over. You still got time on the clock. Amen? Still got to play the game. And listen, folks, this is not a game. It's an example, but this is not a game. This is not a game that, listen, if you lose, loser gets, I ain't going to say. Loser don't get a trophy like most of do now. And end time, everybody gets a trophy, even if you just show up. No. Listen, folks, not with God. You don't get a trophy just for showing up. You get a crown by being born again. You get the blessings of God by being born again, by giving your life to God. Totally and completely. Let him have the preeminence. And see, that's one thing we all need to work on, because I know I'm standing here behind this desk. I don't give him all the preeminence that I should. You don't either. We're trying to get there. We're moving, but we're not there yet. But we're trying. We're striving to let him have preeminence. Because Jesus never got up one day and said, "I think I'll try to do what my daddy says today. I'm going to try." He says, "I do always do what my father tells me to do." He was so in touch with that one inside of him till he knew what to do. The me and you, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to have the Holy Ghost in our soul. Same person, same man. That's why we'll talk about the characteristics maybe a little bit later on, not in this sermon. But John 1 verse 32 says, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain on him." See, we can have an anointing, and it can go off of us. But he says, "Who you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." You know, I think God's let this thing go this long for us to prove who we are. 60-something years. And even after everybody said, "Oh, 1977 was going to be it." 1977. Well, we're way past 1977. We're 40-something years past that. So why are we still here? Preeminence. And we're not born again. Because when the last born again person comes in, the door's shut. So let's be sure. This year, let's make sure that we're sure. That we're sure. That you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, not just an anointing. It's good to have anointing. It's good for anointing to fall on us. But boy, go back and read Anointed Ones at the end time. That one sermon probably rattled me more than any sermon has ever rattled me. Is you see that how close that thing is. But it took a prophet to bring us that to what? Make us aware that there will be false Christ. Now listen, he didn't write a new page in the Bible. Matthew 24 tells us they will come in the end time, false teachers, false Christ, false anointed ones. You got to figure out which one that is. But remember, the Holy Ghost will never fight against the Holy Ghost. Amen? It'll never fight against each other. Now, we may have qualms and you know, quirks and stuff of humanity, but when it comes down to the Word of God, there's only one. And there's not an opinion. Remember what Brother Dale and I always said, if you come up to me and say, I think, I stop you right there. Or I thought. No, there's no, we don't have a thought coming. It's the Word of God or nothing. And this year I want us to see that. All right, so Luke 4, verse 16. Let's go to there, Abby. And that's when he opened the book. Because, see, everything that Jesus did was a symbol or an example of what we're supposed to do, right? All right, hang with me just a few minutes. Don't go to sleep. Listen, y'all hadn't even eat for a while, and shouldn't be the carbs getting a hold of you. Amen? And you didn't get here until 10:30 or 11 o'clock, so you should have slept an extra hour. Yeah. Yes, Bob said yes. Because he's not sleeping. But look, so Jesus goes into the temple. All right, let's make this example. Jesus went into the temple, as was his custom. Jesus went to church. As was his custom. He went to synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, why didn't they deliver him the old, trusted Pharisees, Sadducees, whatever was in the church service? Why didn't they open the book and say, here, read what my denomination says? Come on. Or read what my idea says. No, the Bible says they handed it to him closed. He chose to read that. Because look, he found the place where it was written. He didn't just open it up and go, oh, I think I'll read this right here. No, he found what pertained to him standing. And I'm sure Brother Branham said that was the greatest anointing that ever struck the earth. Ever struck the earth. Not jumping up and shouting, not running the walls or running the aisles. He was sitting in the church, standing in the church, and he opened the book and identified who he was. He found the place where it was written. He found the place. He was the Word. Listen, you got to find your place. An open book. You find your place. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me. I'm not pointing at me. I'm talking about Jesus is saying he pointed me. Now that was written close to at least 2,000 years before Jesus came on earth. Isaiah wrote that, right? And now he's fulfilling exactly what the scripture said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me. Look at the identification. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He could have read the rest of that. Because remember, the rest of that scripture is pertaining to his second coming. And there's only a comma there. It's not even a new paragraph or even a new scripture. It's the same scripture he's reading. He just stopped. Why? Because he was the Word. He knew where to start it, and he knew where to stop it. Amen? So what did he do? He rolled it back up and handed it to the preacher. And sat down, and the eyes of all them were synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. How many really realize that? They didn't realize that. But every time you come to a church service, every time you do listen to the prophet's message, every time you do listen to a sermon, this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Ears. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word of God. But are we really listening? Are we really listening? Is it coming from here down to here? Because look, this is where you think. You want me to read you the Bible? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This thing can get all muddled up. This is where the greatest battle's ever fought. But listen, if you're born again, it ain't the battle down here. It's the battle up here. Amen? But if you're born again, remember it's sealed. Your filter's up here. Let it come down to here. That's our problem. We're not letting it come down. But this day, can you say that? This day, this scripture is fulfilled. We know that Jesus talked to Nicodemus and there was a conversation and he told him, said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born not of your mama again. All right. So now let's go to, and that was Jesus' first doctrine. That should be our first doctrine. What did Brother Brown tell us? He said, I am certain, I think is what he said. He said, I am certain we're not getting them to Christ. We're getting them to a tradition. We're getting them to where we can just say, well, you can do whatever you want to do. You're a Christian. No, you can't do whatever you want to do. And it's not do's and don'ts. Listen, June and I were talking coming up here today. We were talking about buying a camper and take it to Illinois and use it while we're up there so she can go with me. And, you know, there's men that stays in the big place that we stay. But I'd like for her to go. She said, well, we won't be able to use it except maybe during the week. You see where that mentality is. We know what we're doing on the weekend. We know we can't get in it. Now, listen, if you want to take a camper and go off for a weekend, that's fine. But I'm talking about every weekend. It's Sunday. I have a job. And I love my job. I want to be here. I don't want to be sitting in a camper on Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning. But see, that's what I give up. And you know what? I don't give it up begrudgingly. Lord knows my heart. I don't give it up and say, well, I can't buy that camper because we can't go off on the weekend because we got to go to church. Now, if you do that, you're not a Christian. There's something pulling you more than God is pulling you. If you buy a camper, there was a brother one time, and I'm not going to call his name. A lot of you know who he is. Brother one time, he got this idea. I said idea. He got this idea that if he would work on Sunday, he'd get paid triple time. But he would give all that money to mission work. And he said God gave him a job. Amen. He lied. Right. God didn't give him a job. Right. Now listen, if you have to work on Sunday, you do different things, but I'm talking about he said he was going to do it every Sunday. Stayed out of church for 2 years. But he sent that money to mission work. Well, he wasn't very successful. He's had problems ever since. So you see what I mean? Your motive and objective. If your motive is to buy a camper so that you can go hunting and fishing on the weekend or camping on the weekend, then you're wrong. But you see the mentality that you should have. See, put God first. Then he'll make everything turn out right. He'll make everything go the right way. Amen? He'll have to because he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. But see, that's the mentality that we have versus the mentality of the world. They say, oh, we bought a brand new camper. I think we'll take it out and we'll be gone a couple of Sundays. It'll be okay. A couple of Sundays a month. It won't hurt anything. What are you saying, Brother Wade? If you do anything begrudgingly, shame on you. If you do anything begrudgingly, if you say, man, I can't do that because I got to go to church. Or I sure would love to go, I ain't going to say Walmart. I hope nobody loves to go to Walmart. Huh? Bass Pro Shop. Yeah, thanks, Brother Boyd. I don't even go there anymore. But if you're making an excuse to do something, you, and I don't know where this is going, but it's still okay. Our motive and objective, as we come, Brother Brown says, as we come closer to the headstone, our motive and objective should be more toward God than anything else. I know, listen, you got families, you got job, you got things you ought to do. But just to sit home because it's convenient to watch it on the internet? Just because it's convenient to watch it on the internet? No, if I have anything to do about it, if you do anything like that, you ain't getting no silver dollar. Man, just kidding. But what was Jesus' motive and objective? To die to save your soul. Yeah, yeah. To preach 3.5 years. That's my whole point. To preach. He didn't come to say, well, he did one time say, okay, disciples, we're a little tired. Let's go off and take a vacation for a little while. Remember, that's in the Bible. Let's go away for a little while. And that's okay because he was a human being. That's what I told Luis. I said, you need to take some time off. You're still a human being. You're going to wear your body down and the devil's going to jump on you. So he's looking good now. He's walked. You see that one where he walked like 5 miles up this mountain road? I mean, he was sweating just a little bit. And he said, I'm glad the kids didn't come. Yeah, he'd be carrying them. That's what he was. He'd be taking Zoe and carrying her up that mountain. But he's doing a good job. Amen. God will bless him because he put God first. So you put God first in everything. All, kids, everything. Everything you do, you put God first. Because you know what? That's what Jesus did. Even though he was God Almighty in human flesh, he put God first. Amen. I do nothing but what the Father tells me to do. Now listen, he didn't have this voice tell him to get up like a alarm clock. Get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. Eat your Wheaties. No. It's the pertinent things in life. The things he was saying, the things he was speaking, the words he was saying were, what'd he say? My words. Our life. Wow. Wow. And then Paul steps up after Jesus is gone and come back into Paul. Paul stands up one day and says, you're going to be judged by what I say. If an angel from heaven comes and brings any other gospel, any other than what I've spoken to you, let him be accursed. And he said it twice just to make sure we understood that God was speaking through Paul. Oh, well, that's great. That was Paul. We talk about William Branham. What about me and you? What about me and you? If God's anointed us to speak the word of God, that's God talking to you. Amen? And we should stay behind this sacred desk. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Now, anywhere else, we're human. We're way more human than Jesus was. Amen? Because we had a spirit that's a little bit, that, you know, His spirit could be talked to, but Satan couldn't get a hold of him. Because he was not born with a carnal mind. You and I are. So what I'm saying is we can't be, you know, God zombies. No. But we must put him first in everything. Put him first in everything. Because Jesus put God first in everything. Listen, he could have done a lot of things. Listen, he could have risen up for the signs and wonders that he did. He was well known. Brother Branham. 50,000 people in a service. Couldn't get them under a tent. Because of the healing campaign. Because of the healing part. But when he started saying, I and my Father are one. When Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He got a little closer. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me. Right. What happened? It was like they pulled the drain plug out of the human bowl. Right. They left him. Yeah. There was only 12 left, and he turned around one day and said, are you going to leave too? Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. Are you going to leave too? You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you'll have no part with me. We know what he was talking about. But remember, some walked away and never walked with him again. Turned God down. Because they didn't understand what he was saying. Can that happen to us? Do we turn God down because we don't understand what he's saying? Let's don't turn him down. Let's just say, God, help me understand what that man's saying. Help me understand what Brother Dale said. Help me understand what Brother Bob said. Help me understand what's going on. Because you promised me you would do that. You promised me you would take care of me if I'd put you first. So put him first and then what? Act on it. Say, God, I'm putting you first. So now let's go to Matthew 17, verse 8, and then we'll be finished right here. Musicians, get ready. We haven't talked much about the headstone, but we've been talking about it in the whole service. Amen. Matthew 17, verse 8. Said, when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Thank goodness. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, 6 months later, the Son of Man standing there was going to die. But he said risen again from the dead. Somebody killed him. They didn't kill him physically. He only died physically one time. But you can kill him. They killed him spiritually down through the church ages. His disciples asked, saying, when then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Right? And Jesus answered and said to them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. That's our promise of Malachi 4. John the Baptist did not restore all things. He just introduced the head. Right? He did not restore them back to the headstone. He introduced the headstone, and then what did man do? Man cut him off. Man, right? Because let's look in Psalms 118, verse 21. It says, I will praise thee for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Look in Ephesians 2, verse 19. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You got to be built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. Wow. Jesus Christ, though, himself being the chief cornerstone. Because, see, remember, the headstone was rejected. The headstone right here was rejected. So it's not there. But he became the chief cornerstone. The foundation. Oh, Zerubbabel! What a great mountain's going to be built, but you got to start at the bottom. Amen. Crying, grace, grace, yes, unto it. So he took him. They didn't do away with him, folks. He just hid himself down here in the church ages. He hid himself as the cornerstone. Because remember, the cornerstone makes everything square. If that cornerstone's out of alignment, you're not square. Amen? But that thing had to be. That's why Brother Brown said, anybody can build a straight wall. He said it takes a prophet or a master skilled builder to turn that corner and start a new wall. Amen? And that's what we had, a Zerubbabel. Yes. To not make a new foundation. Listen, this is our foundation. Amen.
Right. Absolutely.
And what was built on top of that matched the foundation.
Absolutely.
All right, let's read this and then we'll close and we'll bring this out again later. Built upon the foundation of the apostle prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Look, in whom all the building fitly framed together, that's me and you,
amen,
groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God. Have you ever asked God, God, inhabit this? I know it's stinking, it's filthy, it's rotten, it has bad thoughts, but could you just inhabit this vessel? I can ask that for y'all, but you got to ask it for yourself. God, would you inhabit this? You know what he's going to do? He's going to say, okay, you need to clean it up a little bit. Because I won't dwell in an unclean vessel. It's according to my word. Amen. That's why I said all this talk about this, you know, this seed being in us. You can say whatever you want to. You were born in sin. Your soul was black. Because you can't change the Bible. I know what Brother Brown is bringing out. We have representation from God. We know that. Our representation was the seed word of God, not a seed that was put inside of you to make you different. No. No, God's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to dwell in an unclean vessel. And I was unclean until God saved my soul. So were you. Everybody was. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be, what? Confounded. Jesus, when he was on earth, he confounded the scholars. When the prophet of God came on the earth and started preaching the pure message of God, it confounded the scholarly people of the world.
Amen.
Amen? So guess what? We have to do the same thing. We have to confound. People can't understand why we live the way we live. But like I said before, it's not a have to. If you think you have to do this, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's like June always said, you know, her family said she'd been brainwashed. I said, boy, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of us need that. I don't want to remember what I did in the past. Brainwashed means you wipe everything off. By the new birth, it's been wiped off. You have been brainwashed. Amen? And then washed by the water of the Word, and then he puts his mind in. But they said, why do you not cut your hair? It looks like it's... And see, everybody goes to that. They go, oh, you look so miserable. How many have told you that? Y'all look so miserable. You ain't got no makeup, you know, and you can't do this. Because you got your face all painted up like this. To make it look like something it ain't. And like Brother Bram said, I ain't. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm being honest. You look at some people out in the world and you go, yeah, thanks, sister. Then you go, without all that, what would that look like? But I like natural beauty. Men and women in this church, I'm telling you, you're naturally beautiful. You're just beautiful to God. You're beautiful to Brother Dale. He's espoused us to Jesus Christ. And listen, I don't think Brother Dale's ashamed of presenting us to God. I think he's done a good job to get us to a place to where we can be presentable to God. Which is your reasonable service. What's the Bible? I'll read it to you next Sunday. That's your reasonable service, is to present yourself a sacrifice. It is, it is a sacrifice. But you know what? I thank God that I don't have to walk in the bathroom in the morning and go, who is that? Before she puts all that stuff on. And you don't have to spend thousands of dollars on Max Factor and all that stuff. Thank goodness. Buy hunting clothes with it or something, you know. But June, yeah. Well, I wasn't going to say pans or pots because you wouldn't like that either. So, but you got to cook. But June's family says, oh, you must be so sad having to do what you do. Have to. June told him one time, she said, let me tell you something. She said, if Jesus Christ could hang on the cross for 3 hours with nails in his hand and his feet, beat like hamburger meat, they didn't just barely put that crown on top of his head, folks. They probably pounded it on his head with some leather. They beat him with a cat of nine tails to where his ribs show. And then after he got all that, they stuck a spear in his side. Jim said, if he can do that for me having to do my hair and have this shameful face, she said, that's nothing compared to what he did for me. She said, it's just part of what I want to give back to him. That I want to be what? A sacrifice. Which is your reasonable service. See, if we live that way and think of it as not a burden. You get God in your soul, it'll never be a burden. Because you know what? You're doing what the Word says. See, there can't be a conflict there. There can be a conflict when one of them is not the Word and one is the Word. But you can't be a conflict when the Word talks to the Word. Like I said, when Jesus talked to the Father, talked to the one inside of him, there was no conflict. Nowhere in the Bible he says, well, now, Dad, I don't know if I want to do that or not. No, he said, I always do that, what the Father said. Even when he was at Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be possible, let it pass from me. But he knew it wasn't possible. He knew what he'd have to do. He said, but nevertheless, thy will be done. Magicians, get ready to come. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now watch, a stone of stumbling. Jesus was a stumbling stone to people when he was on earth. Amen? A rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word. That's the stumbling part. They stumble at the word of God. Being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. Some people are appointed to disobedience. That's why the word's there. It's to keep us obedient. Musicians, come on. That word's there to keep us obedient. And yeah, sometimes we are sheep and go astray. As Brother Michael was saying, I love that song. Sometimes we do go astray, but you know what? The chief shepherd goes and gets us. And he may have to break our leg every once in a while to keep us from running off again. Amen? We may have to go through trials and tribulations and all the different things but you know what? If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you got to go back to the Bible that says, I'll not put on any more than you can take. And boy, we think we get right up to the edge of it too. But he said, I'll never put no more on you than you can take. Sister Noma Jeffries asked me one time, you know, her husband died pretty young, Brother Junior. We worked a funeral home and she said, Brother Wade, why'd God do this to me? I said, well, I don't know that God did that to you, Sister Noma. I said, but you know what? I said, God knew you could handle it. If you're a child of God, God knew you could handle it. Sister June may not handle it if I pass away. I mean, really, you understand what I'm saying? He knew you could handle it. But it was time for that person to go. But he knew you could handle it. And look at Sister Noma now. She's got grandkids all over the place. She's just as, you know, just as sweet as she can be, So it's just things that happen in life, and we just have to accept what God got for us and accept that it was for our good. Sometimes a little chastening, you know, to get us back in line. That's what we need. So let's stand to our feet. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Just think about what Jesus did. He sat there that day and he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. I'm telling you what the Bible said about me. Believest thou this? Let's believe the Lord this year. Let's believe more. Let's go up that statue of a perfect man. Let's bring the headstone back. Listen, the headstone of the Word is here. The headstone of the Word is here. We just got to receive it. Amen. Let's sing a song. With bleeding stripes. Yes, sir.
Paul and Silas. Chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, that you'll manifest that these claws will be put on that dog, Lord, and come out of that. And also be with our brother, Lord, as they do surgery. God, you know you use doctors, Lord. And I pray that you'll use these doctors, Lord, to take care of our brother, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things, Lord. Amen. God bless you.
I bless your name.
Love you too. I bless your name. Sing it to him.
Some
midnight hour, if you could find.
Jesus' name.
Lord, your purpose for dying on the cross was to give us, Lord.
I bless. bless your name.
Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll take this away from our sister, Lord. Satan, you cannot hold on to her any longer without her. We know the God that heals. And we know that he's here, Lord. And I pray that you'll sanctify my sister, Lord. And give her strength, Lord, of her body to take that pain away, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord. Amen.
I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind.
To our sister, Lord. She's walked many years in this wonderful gospel, Lord, and give her life all the time that she's come down here, Lord, to be with us, Lord. She could have went somewhere else, but, Lord, she chose here. So now I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll take this pain away from our sister, Lord. And may she be blessed.
We bless your name.
In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. God bless you.
We bless your name. We give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. We bless your name. We bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. It's personal. I give you power. Give you praise. You are
the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that these talks, even in Acts 19, it said that evil spirits went out of people, Lord. Well, if there's an evil spirit in that house, Lord, we pray that when this is tangled in that doorway, that spirit stay out and stay away, Lord. And that you'll bless where every one of these go, Lord. Touch our sister, Lord, and bless her, Father, she's getting up in age. We've got a blood clot there in the lung. We pray, Lord, you bring her out of that, Lord. I pray that you'll bless James, Lord. I pray now that you'll heal him in his soul, too, Lord. That you'll bless him, Lord, and give him eternal life, Father. May he come to you, Lord. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You believe it? Put that over that door.
Begin to say, and they were loose.
Let's sing it one more time.
And they were
free. I bless your name. I bless your name. There's only one name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. And that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize according to Acts 19. It brings you into the family when you take on a name. Oh, I bless your name. Sing it again one more time. Lord, thank you, Lord.
We bless your name.
Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. Think about it. We give you honor.
Give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name.
And keep her safe, Lord, wherever she
we
goes, Lord.
Bless
just be with her,
name.
Lord. Take care of this ailment and this sickness, Lord.
We
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
name.
Lord, may she see
we
healing in her body, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
I bless your name. God bless you. Yes, sister.
Can I give a quick testimony?
Sure. Yeah, right there.
Amen. I just want to give this quick testimony and also shine the light on how the brother was bringing out how beautiful you sisters are. And men too, in a manly way.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But it's so refreshing, just coming out of the world.
You said that right. You said that.
Just coming out of the world, you know, like I was a vessel of dishonor for a long time. You know, I went out on God and
man, sister,
turned my back on Him in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. I don't even deserve to be here right now, standing right here. I feel unworthy,
right,
for real.
Right.
But I remember even being out there, and I used to wear makeup a lot. Not like it is today where it's packed on, mm-hmm, like cake on top of cake and cake, but mm-hmm, I used to wear it and I was a slave to it. And right, without it, I felt I didn't like who I was without it. Mm-hmm. So the devil got a way of putting it on you where you feel
sorry,
like
brother,
you
sister,
don't feel good without it, because right, that's his way of doing it. But anyway, I feel so free to not wear it, and you sisters are so beautiful. When I got here, it was like, man, you guys are so beautiful.
That's right.
Yes.
And even the men out there appreciate you guys, whether you know it or not. I don't know about the ones that are trapped into this beauty, but it's men that actually appreciate women for being natural.
Right, yeah,
you know?
Right, yes.
And every no now doubt, and then, and you guys probably experience it too, mm-hmm, you'll have a man just come up to you naturally and just say, you're so beautiful. And you can tell if they mean it from a perverted way or not. You can tell.
Right.
But
right,
some men
that's
really
right,
appreciate you for being mm-hmm beautiful, plain, because they really are sick of it. They sick of it, you know?
Sure.
It's kind of like you see women with these tight pants on, and you're almost sick of it, because everybody got them on, from young to old,
mm-hmm,
from babies to older women.
That's right.
You know, you're almost sick of it. But I'm
that
saying
right,
that to say this. I have a customer that I go to maybe twice a week, and I have to be in his house to do the job that I do. I do cleaning. So he's a very nice guy and everything, but every now and then he would it'll roll off his tongue like, beautiful. He'll say that more than my name, like, you know, hey, beautiful, or hey, beautiful this, beautiful that. So I kind of got, it wasn't bothering me at first,
mm-hmm,
but it started to bother me after a while. Like,
right,
man, I got to correct this guy,
right,
and then get him to call me by my name, you know?
Right, there you go.
So I worked myself up, and I sent out a voicemail. I didn't send it to him, but I recorded my voicemail, and I was thinking about how I'm going to say it, how I'm going to approach it, how am I going to say it, and I recorded it and stopped it and said, no, let me say it this way, let me put it that way. But man, I'm going through all this. So I was like, man, okay, the next time I visit him, I'm going to try to sit down and talk with him and just let him know I'd rather him use my name. So anyway, that same week, I got to his house, and I was working in one of the back rooms, and he came back there, and he was like, your name is Rebecca, right? He knew my name, but he was like, your name is Rebecca, right? I said, yeah. He said, you know what? I really like your name. I'm going to start using it, because it was a Rebecca in my life, and I really respected her, and she was a very nice person. And he was like, I'm going to start using your name from now on. I was like, thank you, God. I didn't have to say anything. So, you know, it was like, I just wanted to share that.
There you go.
God is so good. Ain't nobody trying to act like I'm something or somebody. And
I'm
just encouraging anybody, if you have a testimony that God did, just
that's
share
right,
it, because you
yes,
never know.
That's right.
God is so good.
Yes,
and
amen.
He just come in sometime, and you ain't got to do anything. He'll take care of it for you.
Amen.
That's it.
That's right, sister. Amen. Amen. But a testimony always starts with a test. T-E-S-T is the first four letters of testimony. Amen. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Remember, if you want to practice, stay afterwards. All right, we don't have another service, so stay afterwards if you want to practice. Sister Esther will be here, and some of the musicians too. So if you need to practice a song, please do. We need a lot of singing on that night. We're going to sing probably a couple of hours, so bring your song list and come and let's sing a little bit. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. We love you. We appreciate you. This year's been a tough year for some, good year for some, but just, you know what? God's in control. God's the one that's got his finger on this whole thing. Amen? We must believe that. God is in control.
Amen?
You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. To Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you'd be with us as we go home. Be with the ones that start just going to sing. Lord, be with us. Lord, there won't be any service on Wednesday night, Father, but bless Brother Chris and Sister Joanna as they travel out here, Lord, on Thursday. Be with us for the weekend, Father. We pray that you give him the words of eternal life and that we'll be rejuvenated. with this new year coming up, Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd just take care of the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here, Lord. We pray that you'd sanctify them, Lord, be with each one that's traveling. Give them traveling mercies in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed.
For our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Go away, somebody. Go away, somebody. Appreciate you.
Words of hope give us strength. Help us go in this world. Wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. Holy words of our faith, hand it down to the saints.